Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Does your child have trouble in school? Are there conflicts at work? Could our differing sensory profiles be the reason? What's a sensory profile, and why do they matter? Let's go in-depth with Elise Sprunk with Work Systems Rehab and Fitness, Pella. So, Elise, what do you do at Work Systems?
Well, I'm an occupational therapist, and I work with children as well as adults, but my primary area of focus is with children. So,
and I think of occupational therapy being job-related.
Right. But occupational therapy is really looking at what is that person's occupation to perform their day-to-day activities. So, yes, for an adult, it would be their job, getting dressed, bathing, if they're, you know, an older adult and have maybe had knee surgery or hip surgery. But for a child, their day-to-day function is play, school, and then also self-care activities.
Okay, and so then you work with kids that might be having a problem at play or with other aspects of their life, other activities?
Yes,
learning?
Yes.
All of that?
Yes, yep. Behavior, activities of daily living, and academic learning.
So if I've got a naughty little girl, call you?
You could. I love naughty little girls. They're fun.
How do we recognize what's just a normal part of being a kid versus somebody that might use your help?
Sure. Well, that's a very good question, because certainly there are behavioral issues that are strictly behavioral. Mm-hmm. But through an evaluation where the parent fills out a sensory profile and I do some direct observation, parent interview, caregiver interview, we can determine whether or not there are things either neurologically or in that child's environment that are contributing to some of those behavioral issues.
You said a sensory profile?
It's a standardized test. It's called the sensory profile.
Sensory profile?
Yes, yep. And so it's been researched and determined to be a reliable and valid testing instrument. And it's a questionnaire. And based on that questionnaire, we can determine that child's neurological threshold. And so if I would explain neurological threshold, it's a continuum, and we are all somewhere on that threshold. You can have a low neurological threshold, which means that you don't need much sensory input in order to generate a response. These are people who, if we were talking taste, would probably find mild salsa to be quite spicy. They might prefer bland foods versus the spicy foods because they find those to be enough. Whereas somebody on a high neurological threshold would need the spicier the better. They might like sour candy versus sweet candy. If we were talking about movement, these are people who would prefer probably heavier activities. They might like, you know, if it's a boy, they might really love the bumping and crashing of tackle football or of wrestling, whereas somebody with a low neurological threshold may prefer more sedentary activities where there's, you know, less risk involved, if you put it that way. And so whenever I work with families, I'm always very quick to point out that there's nothing good or bad about any of them. It's just how that child or adult, we can do these for adults also, it's how that person, where they fall on that continuum. It can be very helpful information, especially if there's a family dynamic where the parent might be one way, but the child is another way. And then, you know, those two can maybe have a clashing because they don't understand each other, you know. And so you kind of look and think, well, you know, why you know, why is my child always doing these things that appear quite risky, or that child who loves to just fall on the floor for no reason? Well, they have a high threshold for touch, and we all like to feel touched, but they need that deep, heavy sensory input compared to the child who, if they're standing in a line and somebody just brushes up against them, they feel that and may retaliate back. So
I presume it's a continuum, so you can't always easily tell when there's a problem.
No, and they might have a high threshold for touch, but a low threshold for sound. And so you'll get those children who, you know, if they're working on a task and somebody drops something next to them, they may hear that pencil fall on the floor, whereas 90% of the class doesn't notice it and they keep working. But if you have a low threshold for sound, then any new sound that's presented is going to draw that attention away from what they're doing. And, you know, you hope that they can bring their attention back on their own, but sometimes they can't get their attention back to what
wow.
they're doing.
So, and it's all the senses.
Yep.
So six senses.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can test for all of them.
Yes.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about sensory profiles with Elise Sprunk with Work Systems Rehab and Fitness.
And so who needs testing?
Well, I think that if there's a question of whether or not this could be a reason for why there's a behavior problem, or, you know, your child just can't seem to get their daily tasks done in a timely manner. Like maybe you've got a child who it takes them forever to get ready in the morning to get out the door and to the bus. Or it could be a child who is struggling with some academic learning but doesn't necessarily need special education, but this might be something to try to see, just to determine whether or not it plays a role. And it doesn't necessarily affect everyone, but it might affect your child.
And so sometimes we might be dismissing something that could be treated, where we might think it's a discipline thing. It might be something bigger than that, where we might think the child is just being unfocused or lazy.
Right.
There's something else going on.
Exactly. And it could just be, like I mentioned, it could just be a difference between parent and child. You know, so there is a sensory profile for adults, and I will at times have the parent also fill out the sensory profile so that we can compare what's happening in the dynamics of the home. If you have an adult or a parent who has a real low threshold for sound, and you've got a child who seems to make noise for no reason because they have a high threshold for sound, those two are going to clash, because the parent is going to think this child is so loud and obnoxious all the time. And so sometimes it's just a matter of the knowledge of knowing that neither one of you is right or wrong, but how can you live in harmony and peace under the same roof?
The recognition, the identification of what is happening might lead to the solution itself, or is there treatments? What do you...
Sure. The treatment varies. If it doesn't seem to be an issue that's also affecting a child's motor development or their ability to complete other tasks, you know, it might be as simple as making a few recommendations to try at home, like either changing the environment, making some differences in how you're approaching the behavioral issues. You know, so it could just be a few recommendations. However, I also test for a child's sensory motor development. That's a big word. What is sensory motor development? It is, if we look at a child or a person's function. At the top, if it were a pyramid, at the top of that function would be academic learning. Directly below that would be behavior and activities of daily living. What makes up the base of the foundation are the six, and sometimes we even say seven senses, because we talk about proprioception or your body awareness. That's at the bottom. In between are a lot of different visual perception skills. There are reflexes that need to be integrated. There's tactile processing, vestibular or balance processing. And so I test for all of those foundational skills. And so if you were thinking about, I always like to use the game Jenga because a lot of people know what that is. But if we are taking some of those foundational pieces and pulling them out slightly, making that pyramid less stable, then the top, academic learning, behavior, and activities of daily living, are probably going to be more difficult, because brain energy and the child's focus is on the foundation, which should come just kind of naturally, rather than where they should be spending their energy and efforts.
So a lot of this is just learning about your child.
Yes.
Okay. And we all want to know that.
Yes. Yep.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about sensory profiles with Elise Sprunk with Work Systems Rehab and Fitness.
There's a lot of kids diagnosed with problems that are treated with drugs.
Right.
And this might be an alternative.
It could be, or it could work very nicely in conjunction with those. You know, there are certainly a lot of kids who benefit from the medications, but there might be other things that would help those be more effective, and possibly, you know, with the right combination of tools, either decreased or omitted. There is a place for medications, and there are children who definitely benefit from medications. And so I don't want to get too, you know, back and forth about that. But I also think that, for example, if you had pain, there is a place for pain medication, but there's also a place for looking at what's the cause of that pain? Is there a biomechanical reason for that pain? Is there a neurological reason for that pain? And is there something that we can do that, while the pain medication is helping take the edge off and helping us maybe sleep through the night or make it through work, we still need to work on some of those causes. And so we know that through therapy, we can create new neural pathways, new messages to the brain, and help improve some of those foundational skills that may be lacking for that child.
So it would work hand in hand with the traditional medical diagnosis
yes,
and treatment.
Yep.
It must be fun working with the kids.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love it. You know, there's never a dull moment at work.
Is it like, let's say, I have knee surgery, mm-hmm. and then I have therapy, and I get fixed, I'm as good as new. You're fixing something.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same kind of thing where if I, let's say, I have a high auditory threshold, it's not, is it anything that you actually fix, or is it something that we just understand and can compensate?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. You know, there's things that I teach parents. And then there's also, if the child is old enough to understand, we'll go through a program that teaches that child about their senses and how to use their senses in order to stay at their optimal level of alertness. So it's called How Does Your Engine Run, or the ALERT program. And it focuses on the child being able to understand what they do with their mouth, what they do with their eyes, what they do with what they listen to, how they move, what they touch, that helps them stay focused. And so through that program, we're doing those activities, and through doing those activities and exposure to those along with a home program, we are improving some of those sensory concerns, because if a child, for example, has a low threshold, we don't want to necessarily just say that that's how it is and that's how it's always going to be. What we like to do in therapy is nudge that circle out in a safe manner. So let's add some different things. Let's, you know, try and expand those preferences in a safe way, so that hopefully that child will start to learn how to not only deal with some of those things, but also expand on that, on those preferences. So I think that it's such a combination of, you know, parent education, child education, the sensory activities themselves, and then also, like I said, improving those sensory motor areas also. So, and we also know that, for example, if, you know, I have worked with kids, you brought up sound, so we'll talk about sound for a little while. I've worked with kids who, you know, just don't do well at all in loud, busy environments. Well, we know through science and research that the mouth is a powerful tool for calming ourselves. I mean, look at us adults. Too many of us are doing things, putting things in our mouth to help calm us, you know, whether it's coffee or, you know, right, who knows what else. So sucking on something sweet neurologically is the most calming thing for our brains. So couldn't we offer the child something sweet to suck on before going into a loud, busy environment that might help that child be able to tolerate that environment a little bit better?
And so you have all of these tried and true recommendations to make for all of our
mm-hmm.
senses.
Yes. Yeah.
For low or high sensitivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's, you work mainly with kids, but it sounds like you could help some adults too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, let's say that a husband is always hitting the mute button and that drives the,
yeah, exactly,
the wife nuts.
Exactly.
Well, the relationship.
At our last staff meeting, we always do a team time and some education. So all of our staff took the sensory profile, and then we compared how we all ranked. And even just if you're in a small office environment and you've got multiple people with different sensory profiles, you know, maybe one who loves to make noise all the time, but then you've got somebody else who needs to be in a really quiet environment to work, you know, so what modifications could you then make, you know, or recommendations based on what we know about our preferences?
So create a
better work environment. Yeah, a better work environment.
So it sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like we all sort of need this basic profile. It might help us understand ourselves and our relations with others. That's sort of a dream for you, isn't it?
That would be a dream for me. Come on over.
So who should come?
I would say, you know, if we're talking just about children, I think that people who maybe resonate with this message, folks who've maybe tried lots of different types of intervention in the past, if they're having difficulty with learning or behavior or activities of daily living, I think would be, you know, it'd be beneficial to know whether or not any of this would help.
Thanks to E. Lee Sprunk for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.